Asteroids are often a pretty well-known threat towards mass extinction. What are some other potential threats?
Well, yes, we've got all these lovely doomsday scenarios. Of course, there's human-created nuclear war. That could, I guess, wipe out the planet. There's pandemics. Diseases actually wiping absolutely everything out. We could have unpredictable volcanism, so volcanoes kind of go a bit crazy and spew stuff into the air and block out the sun. So there's lots of ways that mass extinctions could occur.
So we're all walking around, you know, with this risk dangling in the air, or it's not something to be worried about, a quick volcano or something like that, or...
Well, of course, I mean, there's always a risk, and it's just a matter of probability, I guess. And, I mean, just this year, two asteroids have whizzed past the Earth, and nobody knew they were there. They were only detected a few days before they came extremely close, and they shot by at a very high speed. So even though NASA's tracking all these asteroids, it doesn't find all of them. And particularly the ones that are on a collision course, they're hard to see because they don't change in the sky. When you look at them, they're just a sort of constant dot.
So does NASA usually see them after they've passed, or is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, recently they've spotted quite a few with long-range radar systems they've spotted a couple of days before they've come past.
Oh, okay.
So we're not talking about prediction of years ahead and thinking it might or it might not. They just suddenly see them and then they tell everyone, yeah, it's going to miss, but it'll be a couple of days. So what people are saying is that, you know, one day, one might come and hit us and we would have very little warning, maybe no warning. So the threat is always there.
Mm. And so what's the plan? What's the backup plan just in case?
So, people have talked about, well, what would you do if you could you divert asteroids? So other people have talked about that, and it's a very hard thing, particularly if you've got no time to do anything, then the answer is probably you can't. So when we talk about backup plans, it's really about the backup plans for our planet and all of our life on our planet, and not being selfish, kind of knowing we're all, you know, if this bad thing happened, we'll all die. So what do we do for the future people that might want to come later? So people have started storing things, basically. So it's all about storing all the life we have at the moment. So seed banks have been created. So people are collecting various seeds from all the different plants around the world. Some people have got frozen zoos. They're freezing.
Frozen zoos.
Frozen zoos. So instead of having live animals in zoos, you just have cells or the DNA from different animals in these frozen zoos, and you keep that. Of course, all of these backups are not just good for maybe some horrible doomsday scenario in the future, but if we have a small extinction event of just the small things here and there, then we can go back into these vaults and these seed banks and these frozen zoos and retrieve the biological data that we've got there.
And so what are the ethical implications when it comes to backing up life?
That's a really good question. So ethics is one of those tricky things. It's also one of those things where you probably have to think time scales. If everything was backed up and we had some catastrophic event, it may be thousands or millions of years before, people come, new life forms, and then goes back and looks at the records and kind of stumbles across all of this stuff. So the timescales are so great that some of the ethical debates sort of aren't really that relevant about identifying people and all these sorts of things. It's just not that relevant because of the grand timescales we're talking about. Mm. It's like if we wanted to go back, and find some stuff millions of years ago, we don't really care that much about the ethics of that ancient past. We would just be very grateful to have some of these things. And in fact, there's some other things been in the news recently. A bird from millions of years ago has been found in some amber. So that's like one of these backups.
Yeah.
So scientists are now actually extracting information from the bird because it's a millions of years old bird. It's everything's there. All the feathers are there. All the flesh is there. Everything is there. So we can learn a lot from that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Jonathan.
You're welcome.